We shall now turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, and we shall read again verse 38. Luke 7 and verse 38. We're told here about this woman that she stood at Jesus' feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. This is one of the most wonderful stories in the whole Bible. We're told here about a notorious sinner, how she comes to Christ, and she's given a great welcome. A wicked woman comes to Jesus and she goes away forgiven, pardoned. Go in peace. What wonderful words. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Go in peace. I wonder, have your sins been forgiven? Have your sins been pardoned? And do you have the peace of God in your heart? Well, come to Jesus as a sinner and you're welcome. First of all, I want us to notice how this woman was a sinner. We're told, verse 37, behold a woman in the city which was a sinner. That's really her history up to this point. She was a sinner. But isn't every woman a sinner? And isn't every man a sinner? The Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. Sin is natural, it's common, it's easy. We were singing there in Psalm 51. In sin did my mother conceive me. So even at the very point where I was conceived, I was in sin, because I had already sinned in Adam. So at the very point of conception, I'm a sinner. The point of birth, I'm a sinner. As a little child, I'm a sinner. I have four delightful little grandchildren. And it's interesting to watch them. Sometimes they're quite selfish. Sometimes they're jealous. Sometimes they're fighting. Sometimes they're greedy. It's amazing how little children will fight over a toy. Recently I heard of one woman who had gone out and bought two toys of every kind of toy that she had so that her two children wouldn't fight again. But it didn't work. They still fought over the one toy that they wanted, although there was another one, the same kind, just over in the corner. It's so natural to be jealous, to be bad-tempered, to be greedy, to be impatient. And these seeds of sin which are there in our children, as they grow older, they develop more and more, and they come to a fuller expression. God sees into our hearts, and he sees all the sin that is there in our hearts. We can cover our sins from our fellow men. And maybe you look at me and you think I don't sin. And people who see me perhaps know me even better than you do. They will say, well, he seems a very good living person. But God sees me and God knows me. God knows my heart, and God knows I'm a sinner, and God knows that I sin every day, I sin in sinful attitudes, sinful reactions, sinful desires, sinful thoughts. But then, some are greater sinners than others. And we all know some people who are big sinners. Some are scandalous sinners. And we're told about this woman, she was a sinner. Now that must mean that she was a much bigger sinner than others. All are sinners. But she was, everybody talked of her as a sinner. They all regarded her as a sinner. Everybody in the town knew her. That was her reputation. Sinner. Scandalous sinner. Now we're not told what she did. Lots of people think, well, she was an immoral woman. Maybe she was. Maybe she slept around with other men. Maybe, as some think, she was a prostitute. But we don't know. Maybe she was a liar. Couldn't believe anything she said. Maybe she was foul-mouthed, breaking out into curses and swearing. Maybe she was a thief, the sort of person you couldn't trust. If she came into your house, you kept an eye on her constantly in case she would pick up something and put it in her bag. Maybe she was a bad-tempered, angry woman. Maybe she was a gossip, a slanderer, a backbiter. There's so many sins that we can commit. But one thing we know about this woman, everybody in the town knew she was a sinner. She was a sinner. A bad person. And we're all sinners. But actually, we're all far worse sinners than we realize. 90% of our sins are sins of ignorance. So we do things. We do so much that's wrong. We say things that's wrong. We think things that are wrong. And we don't feel any sense of guilt because we're so insensitive. Insensitive to God and so ignorant of His law. And it's so easy to sin. And it's so natural. And it's so common. So we're all big sinners. But yet, this woman was a particularly notorious sinner. So that's the first point then. She was a sinner. We're all sinners. But this woman, everybody said she was a sinner. Now the second point is this. She comes to Jesus. How dare she come? Big sinner that she was. Christ is holy. He hates sin. He sees into our hearts. We can't hide anything from Him. And He's going to judge us. He's going to punish us for our sins. He demands holiness. Be ye holy, for I am holy, says God. So He knows what is in man. Remember when God came into the Garden of Eden? What did Adam do and Eve? Did they come to God as sinners? No, they ran away and they hid from God. And that's the natural thing to do. We don't want to come close to God. We run away from Him and we hide from Him. But this woman, she comes. She's a sinner and she comes. And she must come. She must come because Jesus is the Saviour of sinners. There's only one way to deal with sin. And there's only one place to go with sin. And that's to Christ. Otherwise, our sin will remain and our eternity will be in hell. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all you who are burdened with your sin, who are conscious of your guilt, and I will give you rest. Come to me, sinners. Come to me because I'm the Savior of sinners. And he's the only Savior. Jesus said to the disciples on one occasion when lots of people were turning their back on him, will ye also go away? And Peter said, to whom else shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life. Where can we go? There's nowhere we can go. You have the words of everlasting life. You are the Savior. We need you. We need forgiveness. And where can we get forgiveness? It's only to be found in you. In front of us, there's a judgment day. There's a hell. A place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. So the only hope for us is to come to Jesus in this day of grace and salvation. The devil says when you sin, you can't go to God. As Christians, you sin, you do something, you've done it again, you're ashamed, you can't go to God. Stay away. Stay away until you're a bit better. Stay away until you do something good, and then you can come to God. But that's totally wrong. We must come to God as sinners. And Christians have to come to God with our sins. We have to come daily. Whoso covereth his sins shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we stay away from God, we stay in our sins and we stay under his chastisement. So we are to come to God and come as sinners and confess. And don't let the accuser of the brethren, Satan, keep you away. We need to come to God. She comes. Have you come with your sins? Are you coming with your sins to God? Thirdly, she comes in repentance. She comes in repentance. We see here that she comes with tears. She's weeping. She's sorrowing. Some people sin and they boast of their sins. They're proud of their sins. They go and tell other people about them. But this woman grieves over her sins. She sees the mess of her life. She doesn't come with excuses. She's not like Adam saying, the woman whom thou gavest me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. It's really your fault for giving me that woman. No, there's no excuses. She comes and she confesses her sin. Sin brings misery. Sin promises pleasure, but ends up in a mess. Friday night I went to see a fellow. I knew him as a teenager growing up. His mother was converted in my congregation in Partick. But he was a proud, wayward, willful teenager. I went to see him on Friday. Hadn't seen him for years until just fairly recently. And he's a total wreck. 47 years of age, sitting in a chair there in agony and pain, his legs full of ulcers, his body His liver, every part of him seems to be damaged. Alcohol, drugs. And there he is, middle-aged, when he should be in the prime of health. And he's just a wreck in misery. He couldn't get up to see me out the door. He said, just take the key, lock the door and put it through the letterbox. At 47, what a mess. And when he was a teenager, full of excitement, enjoying alcohol, enjoying drugs, enjoying sex. And there he is, on his own, a wreck. That's just what sin does. It promises pleasure and it ends us in misery. And so we think of this woman. No doubt she wanted to be popular, but she ends up being despised. She had her friends and she tried to please her friends, to do what her friends told her to do. And she ends up, and they all look down on her, the sinner woman. And of course, sin leads ultimately to hell. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. So here's this woman, she comes in repentance, in tears, and she washes the feet of Jesus with her tears. The way they did it in these days is they would have a kind of table or mat set out with a foot. And then they lay each one on their arm around the table. And they would eat the food as they lay on their arm. So their legs would be stretching out behind them. And this woman must have taken some courage to enter the Pharisee's house. Must have taken some courage to come to Jesus, knowing her guilt, her reputation. And then she comes to Jesus' feet and she stands there watching him. The tears running down her cheeks. Not just one or two tears, but lots of tears. I wonder, have you wept over your sins? Tears coming down and falling upon Jesus' dusty, dusty feet. And then she takes her hair and she wipes his feet with her hair. Copious tears. Jesus loves the tears of repentance. It's a good thing to weep over our sins. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the sins of my people, the slain of the daughter of my people. Jeremiah weeping over the sins of his people, his nation, Israel. She wipes his feet with her tears. Lovingly, she kisses her feet. She kisses Jesus' feet. I wonder, have you kissed Jesus? Psalm 2, kiss ye the Son, lest in his ire you perish from the way. Kiss the Son of God, lest in case his wrath burn against you. If once his wrath begin to burn, pity those who are not on his side. She kisses his feet. What is kissing the feet of Jesus but trusting in him, putting our faith in him, committing ourselves to him? And then she takes her alabaster box of ointment, breaks it and pours it over the feet of Jesus, this perfume. She cannot do enough for Jesus to show her love, her trust, her appreciation of him. Have you repented of your sins? Have you wept over them? Have you come to Jesus with them? Have you kissed Jesus and anointed him with the oil, the ointment, the praise and the worship that is due to him. And then finally, we notice that she receives a great welcome. A great welcome. It's so true. When we come to Jesus, he always gives us a welcome. If only you would come, you would be received by him. You're to come to him today, just as you are in your sins. He's still the same, still willing to receive sinners. Doesn't thrust this woman away and say, "Don't touch me, you filthy woman." He leaves her to touch him, to kiss him, to show her love to him. But Simon the Pharisee, who has invited Jesus to his house, he's looking on, and in his heart he's thinking, "Now, Jesus, he's supposed to be a prophet. But if Jesus were a prophet, he would know this woman. He would know that she was a big sinner. And he wouldn't let this woman come anywhere near him." And so Simon's kind of sneering at Jesus a little bit. And he's thinking, "I'm not much of a prophet there. He doesn't know who's kissing him. Jesus, he's allowing himself to be kissed by this filthy woman." But Jesus not only knows what the woman is like, but he knows what Simon is thinking in his heart. So Jesus turns to Simon. Simon hasn't said anything out loud. But Jesus turns to Simon. He says, "Simon, there's something I'd like to say to you." "Say on, Master." "Well," said Jesus, "you know, there was a certain creditor, a certain wealthy man, and he had two debtors. One owed him 50 pence, 50 denarii, 50 silver coins, and the other owed him 500. So there was one who owed him 10 times as much as the other. Now, this kind creditor forgave them both. Who do you think loved him most? Who do you think was most appreciative?" So Simon said, "Well, I suppose the one that he forgave most to. The one who had the biggest debt." "Yes," Jesus said, "you got it right. Exactly so." And then he said to Simon, "Simon, look at this woman here. I came into your house. My feet were dusty. It's common practice to give a basin of water, maybe even to wash the feet of your guests so that they'll feel comfortable after being out on the dusty roads of Palestine. But you never gave me any water to wash my feet. You didn't give me a towel to wipe my feet, but this woman, she's washed my feet with her precious tears. And she's wiped my feet with her glory. A woman's hair is her glory. She's used her own precious hair to wipe my dirty feet clean. See this woman, Simon. When I came into your house, you didn't give me a welcoming kiss. But this woman has even kissed my feet. Simon, do you see this woman? When I came into your house, you didn't pour oil over my head in a lovely token of hospitality. But this woman has poured perfume on my feet." "Wherefore I say unto you, Simon, her sins, which are many," yes, they are many, "they're forgiven. For she loved much. For to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And there you are, Simon, and you think, you're so good. and you have no sense of your sin and no consciousness of your guilt, and therefore you've got no appreciation for me, the Saviour. We only appreciate the Saviour when we realise we're sinners. And here's this woman. She knows she's a sinner, and she appreciates me. But you have no consciousness of sin, and you have no appreciation for me. You showed me no love. You invited me into your house, and you've been looking at me all the time with suspicion and with criticism and with condemnation. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven thee. And people who were sitting around the table with him said, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said it again to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. I wonder, have you been convicted of your sin? Is conviction of sin something that happens every day? Are you aware that you really are hell deserving sinner? You don't deserve any blessings. You don't deserve any answers to prayer. You don't deserve any good things. You and I, we deserve hell. Hell forever. But there's a Saviour. And do you appreciate the Saviour who bore our sins in his own body on the cross? Who was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him? Who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities? Beaten and battered and bruised and crucified for my sin. Suffering my hell. How we should love Jesus. Do you love Jesus? If you love me, you keep my commandments. Do you love him? Do you keep his commandments? Are you devoted to him? Her sins, which were many, were forgiven. If you're an unconverted person today, if you're unsaved, come to Christ and you'll find forgiveness. He's willing to receive you today. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And if you're a Christian today, think about your sin. Come to Christ again today. Repentance isn't something you do once in your life. It's something you are to do every day of your life. Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Let your repentance be a daily occupation. Let your faith in Christ be something that you do each day, coming afresh day after day to Jesus and seeking washing, cleansing, forgiveness and pardon. This woman, she was a great sinner, but she came to Christ and she went away forgiven. Come to Christ and find forgiveness. Let's pray. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, that thou art stretching out thine hands to sinners and saying, come unto me. We thank thee that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank thee for full, free forgiveness. For the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin, grant unto us, each one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, to repent of our sins, to confess our sins, to come to Jesus with our sins, and to trust in him and in his death for us, to take away our sins and to give us peace with God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.